whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let me invite you to open to James chapter 1. Here in the opening verses of James, he makes an early call for our followers of Jesus Christ to persevere. Later on, near the end of his letter, in chapter 5 and verse 7, he uses the word patient. He says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." So this morning we want to come to another of the virtues that James calls us to, the virtue of patience. And I wonder, has there ever been a human who did not struggle with patience? One person has written, "Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman and never in a man." We all struggle with patience. We lose patience with people. We lose patience with things like saran wrap. We lose patience with ourselves. We can lose patience with life and become hopeless, and some lose patience with God and give up. James here in chapter 1 speaks of a deeper kind of patience, a patience that deals not with the trivial matters of our daily life, but with life-altering struggles. It is a patience that is best described with the words that he uses, perseverance, or elsewhere, endurance. It is this virtue that enables weary Christians to hang on and enables weary Christians to move on. So what James is calling us to here is no ordinary patience. You know, some people think of patience as something that you do sitting down or maybe lying down or something that occurs as you're curled up in a fetal position, waiting for the storm to just blow on past. But the kind of patience that James calls us to is a standing, fighting, tenacious patience. And so he uses this word, persevere. Perseverance is the ability to hang on through the tough times. It is courageously staying your course in the battle under adverse circumstances. I love the English writer's description of this. Rudyard Kipling put it this way. He said, "If you can take each bone and nerve and sinew and make them serve their course long after they are gone and keep on going when there's nothing in you but the will which says, go on." That's the kind of attitude and action that James calls us to here when he uses this word. The perseverance that he talks about is the same kind of perseverance that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. There the Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance." There it is. Run with perseverance. The race marked out for us. I just had to smile, you know, as we were preparing for this, as John was teaching the class and as we were talking. Isn't it so typical of James that he even encourages us to have a patience that works? James is so focused on a faith that is lived out practically by the things that we do. And he says, be patient, but have a patience that is seen indeed in action. He says, don't let your problems paralyze you. Continue working even under the stress and the strain. Keep running even when your heart is weighed down. Well, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. Where do you get that kind of super patience? Where do you get that spirit of endurance that allows you to persevere through the most difficult things that Satan or this life can throw at you? More importantly, how do we keep from giving up, from throwing the towel in those deepest valleys of discouragement? Well, the ability to persevere comes first and foremost through a knowledge of God's Word. That's where our strength arises. That's where we'll find the sustenance that we need. There's that familiar passage in Romans chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You see, the Scriptures are what give us endurance and encouragement. And once we get a little bit of endurance and encouragement from reading God's Word, that yields hope. And hope is the fuel that keeps us going. Some of you are here today because you desperately need hope. And I don't have to tell you that there is nothing worse than hopelessness. You see, when we go to God's Word and we read the things that are written before, we read stories about these different characters. In our Sunday morning Bible class, we were reminded of many of those who held on and persevered and endured through difficulties. And we read about men like Moses. And we read about how he attempted to do the will of God and then was put out to pasture for 40 years in the wilderness. He thought he had failed. He thought his life would end in failure. And when I read about Moses, who after 40 years out there, finally was called by God to come and rescue his people, I start beginning to think, you know, if I've been praying and waiting for 5 years or 10 years or 15 or 20 for things that haven't quite worked out the way I want, maybe that's okay. If Moses had to wait 40 years, is it too much for me to have to wait a similar period of time in order to see things happen that I've longed for and wanted to happen? I read about Job's tragic loss of family and health and wealth. And then I begin to look at my own struggles, and they pale in comparison. And I begin to think, surely I can be patient if Job was patient. And I read about David's moral failures, and I get so discouraged with my own moral struggles and my own failures, and I feel like sometimes that you know, who am I pretending to be? And I know Christians who say, why do I even go through the motions? I can't be a Christian. I'm so bad and I struggle with all these things. And yet when I read about David, I read about one who made all these horrible mistakes and yet humbled himself and was contrite. And God said, that's what I want. I want a person who displays that attitude. And He said, I'll call that kind of person a man after my own heart. How wonderful. How wonderful to see that and derive encouragement from that. When I read about Hosea and his broken marriage and the terrible tragedy of his home life. And I know Satan tries to discourage so many today through that very thing. And he wants you to give up. But Hosea hung in there. And God wants you to hang in there. And in these stories, we see the hand of God. And I begin to understand that God is just as involved in my life as He was with those individuals back there who went through all these struggles and had to patiently endure. And you know, there's no more hope-giving story than the one of Abraham, who had to wait and wait and wait for that son of promise. Finally, as he and Sarah were ready to give up in their old age, God finally, in His good time, gives them that child, Isaac. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15, it describes Abraham with these words, "And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." That's what God wants us to do. Patiently endure so that we also can obtain the promise. One elderly Christian lady was asked one time, "What's your favorite verse in all the Bible?" And she thought for a few minutes and she said, "You know, I like that part that says, 'And it came to pass.'" Now, isn't that true? Eventually, our troubles will pass. Eventually, it could be said of us, And it came to pass. And we're in a new chapter in life. You know, one day we may be able to sit down and write the story of our life, looking back on it. And we can describe all the valleys and all the struggles and all the times that we had to patiently endure. But at the end of every Christian's life can be that phrase, and it came to pass that God was faithful and the prize was won. Victory achieved. No, it begins by deriving encouragement from the Word. But more than that, the ability to preserve comes directly from God. And it's there for the asking. Paul begins Romans chapter 15. The first verse is there, verse 5 specifically. He talks about God and he describes God like this. May the God who gives encouragement and endurance. Did you know that God will give that to you if you'll ask Him for it? Are you impatient? Are you discouraged? Ask God for an extra measure of endurance to deal with whatever it is that you're facing. And God will honor that prayer. He will give you endurance and encouragement. God will give you the strength that you do not naturally possess. Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in those beginning verses, verses 8 and 9. He talked about God and he said, He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And He is. He's not going to let you get started in this Christian walk and then abandon you partway down the path. God is not like some huckster who sells you a lemon car that you barely get off the parking lot before the engine dies. God puts us on the road and He guarantees the vehicle for life. He gives us strength for our journey. The only thing you and I have to do is not give up. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. He's promised. He'll do it. And that familiar verse, Galatians 6, 9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. And then there are those little words, if we do not give up. Folks, that's all we've got to do. We've just got to hang on and not give up. And God will carry us through those difficulties. One man said, by perseverance, even the snail reached the ark. You know, it may take time. It may be slow, but we'll get there. I love what a heavyweight, world heavyweight champ of past generations wrote. His name was Jim Corbett. They called him Gentleman Jim Corbett. And he described the battle in the ring. He said, fight one more round. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to come on guard, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and you're so tired that you wish your opponent would crack you on the jaw and put you to sleep, fight one more round, remembering that the man who fights one more round is never whipped. Folks, with God on our side, we'll never be whipped. The one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. Just hold on to His hand. Never let go. Trust Him. Believe Him. And then one final motivation that helps me when I tend to lose patience is I need to remember, and I think we all do, just remember how patient God has been with us. God Himself has modeled this tenacious, persistent patience in every one of our lives. And it's not some idle patience that God has demonstrated in His attitude and actions toward each of us. It's an attitude and action of patience in which He has enabled us to be what we are, where He has equipped us. He has responded to us in love, and He has forgiven us again and again and again. Paul, in talking about his own life in light of God, he said, I'm the worst sinner of all. There in that letter to Timothy, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. And then he says, I think that I'm that way because in being the worst, I'm allowing Christ to display in me His unlimited patience. I tell you, God has had to be patient with me. And He's had to persevere with me. He's had to endure me. And I suspect He's had to do the same thing with most of you. And so don't you think that God has a right to ask each of us in return, in light of His patience, to be patient with one another? And to be patient with Him when we don't understand and we think it's taking too long and we don't see the answers? Don't you think God has a right to say, be patient. Trust me. Don't give up. There's a traditional Hebrew story, and by traditional I mean it's not in the Bible, but it's a story that comes down through the ages, sort of a legend, a story about Abraham. And in this Hebrew story, it goes that one night Abraham and Sarah were in their tent, and a stranger came, and it was an elderly man. And Abraham invited him into the tent, and he washed the man's feet, and he had Sarah prepare a meal. But Abraham noticed that when this stranger sat down to eat, that he did not first offer thanks to God for his meal. And so he was puzzled by that. And Abraham asked the man, he says, do you not worship Jehovah God? And the old man laughed and said, no. He said, I only worship the God of the fire that keeps me warm. And Abraham was incensed at this answer, and he says, get out of my tent, and ordered the man out. And so the story goes, later that night God called Abraham, and he said, where's the old man I sent to your tent? And Abraham said, he's a blasphemer. He doesn't worship you, so I sent him out of my tent. And God answered, I have suffered him these 80 years, although he dishonors me. Could you not endure him one night? Now God calls upon us to endure one another, to be patient with those we live with, and most of all, to be patient with Him. Trust Him. Allow Him to bring you safely to the end of your journey. You know, sometimes life can be almost overwhelming as we deal with struggles and as we have our patience worn thin through the years. And there's no greater immediate help that I know of than to have brothers and sisters pray for you and encourage you and be able to say, I've been there and I understand. And we've got folks here who've been in nearly every situation you can imagine. So if you're here this morning and you are feeling terribly burdened, I want to invite you to do something. I know a lot of you are embarrassed to do this, but those who have responded in this way have always said how beneficial it is. I hope you'll not have so much pride that you wouldn't say, I'm struggling and I'm burdened and I'm impatient and I need help. And let your family here pray for you. When people come down, we, as you well know, we never let anyone sit down here alone. We always sit on either side of them and encourage them and pray with them and for them. If you need prayer this morning, ask for it. Your strength is there for the asking. If today you need to take that initial step of faith to allow God to be the one who will take you from beginning to end faithfully through life's uneven journeys, I pray that you'll take advantage of that and that you'll place your trust in Him and confess Him this day as you're baptized. If you need to come this morning, we invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing.